Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick, along with former Jaguars Jeff Loggeman and Tony Baselli, provide the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Brought to you by Baptist Health and by Everbank. Jaguars Thursday begins right now. Right now.
From the HananiahAutos.com studio at Everbank Field, Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick with Jeff Loggeman. Tony Baselli in St. Louis, Missouri for Thursday Night Football. We'll hear from the big man coming up in the second segment tonight.
And we will hear from him because there's not going to be any background noise to speak of in St. Louis tonight.
It could be the last game in St. Louis. It could be.
Could be. But, you know, it's interesting in that, you know, a lot of the posturing has been going on with the three franchises, you know, the Raiders, the Chargers, and the Rams. And it's, you know, I guess they call it kind of the race to Los Angeles. And some of the information that you're reading about Kroenke, the owner of the Rams, is that he is the one probably with the least support out of any of those three franchises. So that's going to be interesting to see how that plays out because, you know, you got basically it's musical chairs. You've got two chairs that in the middle of the room, and you got three owners circling it, and only two are going to get a seat. Well, the one that doesn't get the seat, what happens to that franchise at the city that they were at?
Yeah.
You know, the LA Nation factor that has already set in San Diego and the Rams, and not so much Oakland, has to be immense. And that's going to be very tough to recover from.
It's going to be interesting the next week or two when all those franchises play their final home games of the regular season, how the reaction is in those cities. Of course, everybody remembers a different scenario when the Browns left Cleveland, but that didn't go so well in the stadium that day, ripping chairs out of the seats and stuff.
No, it didn't. We'll see. And you know what, though? That stadium needed to be ripped up.
I
mean, to be perfectly honest with you,
It was the worst
stadium in the National Football League. It was the worst visitors' locker room in the National Football League. It was the absolute worst playing surface, even considering Philadelphia with the old seams that used to be at the old Vet. Mm. Sorry, Joe, but that's the truth.
Yeah.
But Cleveland was actually built below lake level, and it was like a bog. I tore my PCL on that field one year. Didn't know it at the time, but I did because that field was just junk.
Yep. Old place. Been around for a long time. So that'll be something to watch the next couple of weeks. Plenty to get to tonight. Falcons-Jaguars coming up Sunday in the final Jaguars home game. We'll break down the Jags and the Falcons matchup this week. Good matchup for this Jaguars receiving group going against a secondary that's got some young guys on it but playing well in the back end. And the offense, hey, the Jaguars D this week, can they replicate what they did last week against a little better competition? Matt Ryan, Julio
Much
Jones.
Much better.
Yes, absolutely. So
much better competition.
Quite a matchup. Hey, I've got, by the way, PR crack staff, Tad Dickman.
What you got?
Fan voting announced today for Pro Bowl.
Okay. The players are going to vote when?
I think they've already voted. The announcement comes on Tuesday of the players in the Pro Bowl. Then there's a draft. I think it's Dion and
It's Michael Irvin. Michael Irvin and Jerry Rice, I believe.
Yeah, each pick a team for the Pro Bowl. So there are three Jaguars in the top 10 in their respective position groups in fan voting, which is good news.
Okay.
The highest of the, ranked of the players is Paul Posluszny. He is ranked 7th in inside linebackers in fan voting, just under 74,000 votes.
Mm-hmm.
Telvin Smith, 9th in outside linebacker voting, 112,600 votes. And Allen Robinson in 10th in wide receivers, 178,000 votes. So good for those guys. And the fan voting is one-third of the equation. Players and coaches are the other two-thirds.
Yeah, I'm really happy that Telvin got in there. I think Paul's longevity, consistency has got him there. A very recognizable last name. He is very deserving because he is robo linebacker, as we like to say. But you know what? The difference is, I mean, for Telvin Smith to get there, I think that's pretty incredible now.
Yeah.
I mean, because you're talking about a fifth round draft pick from a year ago that plays in a small market. And so to have him be on there, that's pretty impressive, and it's well deserved. You know, watching film over the last couple weeks, you know, and really all year, and I think at the end of last year, you know, when Jaguars.com, we go and we break down the different position groups, and I remember. I got the linebacking group, and typically what I would do was show clips of different guys within the group. When I got to the linebackers, I felt the desire to show one, and that was Telvin. To watch the things that he could do athletically and with his speed and his awareness is really a joy to watch. And he is a special player, a special player. And I could remember back to last week in that victory that they had, that he had a play to where he rushed the passer, and then after he rushed the passer, he turned and ran down the field like 15 to 20 yards on the opponent's sideline, and he almost makes the tackle of the Colts player. I mean, that's not what normal linebackers can do.
Not at all.
And when you watch him trail a play on the field, you can take all five defensive backs that the Jaguars have and watch it, and you just watch them run. And Telvin Smith is outrunning them.
So how about, yeah, even in the Tennessee game, the Mariota long touchdown. Remember, there was the pressure, and he's behind Mariota. And I know Colvin almost walked him down, but Telvin was pretty darn close, too, at the end of the play.
Yeah, and he got blocked on the way.
Right. So, I mean, that tells you something about Telvin. So keep an eye on that in the next few days. The official announcement of Pro Bowl players will come on Tuesday. And then, of course, the weeks after that, guys bow out for injury or playoffs or this or that. So we'll see.
The one good thing is that, you know, when you start to win, all of that starts to come.
That's right.
And typically it takes 2 years to get recognition to make the Pro Bowl unless you're in a major media market, Chicago, New York, et cetera. You know, so for a small market like Jacksonville, you got to have 2 solid years and you got to have a club that's winning to be able to get the recognition from the fan vote. And, you know, one step in that process is being somewhere where you can be seen. You know, and I think the schedule switch to next week's game in New Orleans is part of that. You know, as you start to show success and you start to be exciting to watch as this team has been, then the networks start identifying that. And they say, okay, hey, look, you know, this is a pretty good team. We, you know, they're going to be interesting, going to provide a good game. Let's see them. Let's let the fans see them. And so that will come with success, and it's starting to come.
And, of course, next year, who knows, primetime could be a little more in the equation than it has been. It hasn't been at all, really.
Be a Monday night home game next year.
It'd be nice.
Yeah, but in the Sunday night thing, you know, maybe not quite that yet. But Monday night, I would be shocked if they didn't have one or maybe two.
We'll see. That's a good start. So keep posted on that. All right, how do you guard Julio Jones, Jeff?
There is no concrete answer to that. There really isn't. I mean, Julio Jones is that good of a player. And as Gus was talking about, you know, you start to try to double a Julio Jones, then you're making yourself delinquent in run defense. And that's the hard part, you know, because typically when you double a guy like that, you've got a corner and you've got a safety. And so if you got a safety that's playing over the top of Julio Jones, that means that safety can't be in there to help stop Devontae Freeman. So it's going to be interesting, you know, with the change that they made last week, with Nick Marshall moving into the corner spot when Aaron Colvin slides inside to play nickel, I guarantee you that Kyle Shanahan is very aware of the change that the Jaguars made in the secondary and that they will try to find Julio against Nick Marshall. Now, will the Jaguars mirror Julio Jones with Devon House?
Send House at him all game? I mean, he has a history against him.
I mean, don't know. I mean, it, you know, the Jaguars have not shown that they would do that all the time. Now, against the Houston Texans, the matchup here at home,
yes,
they did that with DeAndre Hopkins, and it worked for a while. Mm-hmm. And then it didn't, and that was kind of led to where Devon ended up getting put back on the sideline, and they put Dwayne Gross out there, and it didn't work. But, you know, Devon House has been better since then. So, that might be one of the most intriguing things to watch. Is how do you contend or stop Julio Jones? What do you do, and what will you do special to to stop him, because you have to give him extra attention.
Absolutely you do.
In certain situations. In certain situations, you cannot.
You mentioned Devontae Freeman, and yeah, the run game's great, but he's very good in the passing game too. I think he's fifth in the league in yards from scrimmage, so I think 1,300 yards or something total for the year, receiving and rushing for Devontae Freeman. That just adds another dimension to this offense. Yeah, he's going to run the ball sometimes, but he's very much a weapon in the passing game.
Well, he is first in the National Football League in first downs. He has 73 of them, 55 on the ground, 18 in receptions. It's an incredible number.
Yes, it is.
An incredible number. He has 11 total touchdowns, 9 of them rushing and two of them receiving. He is a great back. He is not a good matchup for anybody but maybe Telvin Smith.
Who does he – is he like a Woodhead type San Diego?
Yeah, I know that some of the Jaguars coaches – in the passing game, yes. In the running game, Danny Woodhead isn't even viewable in his rearview mirror.
Okay.
It's a very, very different player. But in the passing game, similar. You know, makes a lot of those quick cuts, but he's got greater speed than Danny Woodhead. Last week against the Carolina Panthers felt pretty comfortable, as they should have. Thomas Davis is an excellent cover linebacker for the Carolina Panthers, along with Kuechly. Thomas Davis, former safety, you know, went through all the neat things, fast player. And Thomas Davis had a hard time keeping up with him. So that ought to tell you how good he is. And Thomas Davis is one of the best linebackers in coverage.
So we got that going for us this week. Great.
Yeah.
Julio and Devontae.
This is a tough matchup. I mean, this is a tough matchup. When you have an offense that's ranked seventh, and yes, they're on a six-game losing streak, but their offense is still potent. The one good thing is that Roddy White has fallen off a little bit. Roddy White used to be one of the best wide receivers in the National Football League.
How old is he now? He's got to be.
He's in his 11th year.
Yeah.
His 11th year. He's the Falcons' all-time leader in yards, receptions, and touchdowns. He is the man, has been the man there in Atlanta for a long time. But he is not the player that he once was. Now, does that mean that he can't have flashes of it again? Because you know what? A couple years ago when we saw Larry Fitzgerald here, I thought Larry Fitzgerald was done. And I don't say done. I'm talking about done being the Larry Fitzgerald that we used to know.
Yeah, sure.
And now all of a sudden Larry Fitzgerald is back having another big year again. You know, so when you got a player like that who is aging, he still has the ability to have big games, and he also has the ability to find that fountain of youth occasionally, and you hope it's not this week.
Yeah, let's hope not. That's for sure. Get ready for the Jacks Games tailgate party before the Falcons game this Sunday. A game ticket gets you free entry to the pregame tailgate party, including a live performance by the Struts and X Games legends Andy McDonald and Jamie Bestwick. Get your tickets today at jaguars.com/Jacks Games. When we return, we'll go to St. Louis. Thursday night football tonight. Tony Boselli is on the call for Westwood One. We'll get a scene set of what's happening at the Edward Jones Dome this evening, and a little more about the Falcons and Jaguars coming up this Sunday. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio. Applewhite dropped the throw. That ball's knocked out of his hands. It is picked up by the Jaguars. That is picked up by Andre Branch. Andre Branch is going to score a touchdown. That's going to be a strip sack. And Andre Branch scores for the Jaguars. Andre Branch got it done last week. The Jags blow out the Indianapolis Colts from that point forward in a 51-16 win over Indianapolis. JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, Jaguars Thursday. The Jags and the Falcons coming
that was
up
big
this
play now.
Unbelievable, huh? I mean, reaching out, perfect, right on the ball, perfect bounce, nobody near him. Easy touchdown. And it's a big touchdown in the game, obviously, because guess what? You've just given it up twice. And if they go down and score a touchdown, it's 20-3, and your offense ended on the darn thing all day.
No, it's not. It wouldn't have been good.
I mean, it would have been ugly. It was ugly anyway at that point.
To be able to close that game to 4 points at going into halftime, I mean, it's just totally different mindset.
Yeah.
You know, it just, I think it calms everybody down a little bit, and that's what it's about. I mean, it's about changing the momentum in a game. And Andre Branch was a guy who was talked about quite a bit the week leading up to it. You know, Gus Bradley talked about the production of the Leos. He talked about him. He talked about Chris Clemens, talked about getting different guys from repetitions. Chris Smith got reps. And I think the message was heard loud and clear by Andre Branch. He had his best game yet as a pro. It was certainly his most impactful game as a Jaguar to date.
Is he back next year, in your opinion?
I don't think so.
It's a contract year.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think so. I mean, it's I've been saying this kind of, I don't know, for a while about Andre Branch, is that, you know, he's a would be a good support cast because, you know, he gives you great effort. He has closing speed. As you saw, once he got that ball, there was nobody that was going to catch him. And it's not like there was wide receivers, defensive backs, or anybody that was out like that on the field. I mean, a lot of offensive linemen would have had a realistic opportunity of the quarterback to catch him. But he gives great effort. He's got good speed. He's not a creator. He's a guy that's more of a cleanup guy. And this team needs creators. And once a guy like that gets to free agency, the price tag's going to be high. Just because you've seen this so many times around the National Football League to where once a player gets to free agency, what do general managers do in that situation? They go back to their evaluation of that player that they had coming out of college. And there will be somebody that has very high regard for him or had high regard for him coming out of Clemson, and they'll have the belief that, look, we can coach him up, we can make him better, and he looks the part. I mean, Andre, you know, 6'5", 260, 65 pounds. I mean, he looks like a defensive end. Yeah. And I think the price tag will get up above where you would probably feel comfortable paying it. I know that it would be more than I would feel comfortable paying that if I was a general manager, but I'm not. You know, so, you know, but this for Andre, that doesn't matter. I mean, for him, this is about not about coming back to Jacksonville. It's about, one, establishing himself as a player, and number two is establishing himself as somebody that would be desirable in free agency. So he's got a great opportunity. He's got three games remaining. He certainly had an impactful fourth to last game, or what could be his fourth to last game as a Jaguar. So we'll have to see kind of how that works out.
Let's go to St. Louis, Missouri at the Edward Jones Dome. It's Thursday Night Football, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the St. Louis, maybe soon to be somewhere else, Rams. Tony Vaselli is the analyst for Westwood One Radio tonight. He's with us now live. Are they ripping the chairs out of the stadium yet, Tony?
No, it has not gotten to that point. And, you know, actually there was a report that, this week, just the last couple of days, that Bob McNair, the owner of the Texans, actually said he would not support Kroenke and the Rams going to L.A. because of the support here in St. Louis. You know, people in St. Louis want to keep the team. They want to build a new stadium. And so we'll see what happens.
What kind of support are you seeing in St. Louis?
It's not going to be a lot. I mean, not a lot of buzz, you know, one, because of all that's going on. Two, because they're pretty much out of the playoffs. They have a very, very, very long, long shot to get in. It's still early. They're still warming up, so we'll see what kind of crowd we get here tonight, but they're not expecting very many people.
What, you know, when you watch the film of the Rams leading up to this ball game, you know, the defense for the last couple of years has been stockpiling guys up front. They have tried to stockpile skill position players. What's wrong with this football team?
They have a very good defense. They have a good defense. They're pretty beat up, and so when they're healthy, they're very good. They don't have a quarterback, Jeff. I mean, they have the running back. It's a stud. You watch him on film. Oh, my gosh. Watching Todd Gurley. I think I was giving JP a hard time the other night because he was being a little too
What the heck,
overly excited.
Oh, you love him now all of a sudden. Change your tune, didn't you?
I watched the tape. I'm like, wow, this guy's good. They're young on the offensive line. They drafted a lot of guys there. I think they'll be good there. Their receivers are above average, but they have no quarterback. I mean, it's none, zero. I mean, and they don't. They're not dynamic on that side of the ball at all. And they have they struggle to move and they struggle to score.
All right, so I got a question for you because I remember last year the tackles that were coming out. Auburn had a guy that the Rams ended up drafting. Jake Matthews was coming out of Texas A&M. And I remember saying at the time that if I had to take one, I'd take Jake Matthews because I thought he was pro-ready.
And that's what I said too.
And from watching the film of Jake Matthews, he's struggling a little bit. And the player,
not as much as the guy here.
That's what I was wondering. Tell me about
it. He is a physical specimen that looks really good. It's very athletic, moves out, but that looks like he is confused, not fluid, unsure of himself, because he's never had to do it. I mean, Auburn, he did nothing. And I said it. I said, listen, I think he might be a good player, but he better be really patient, because he's never been asked to do anything you have to do in the NFL. And he struggles in space. You know, he looks uncomfortable in space, Jeff. So when he's in tight quarters, he's so powerful, he's so strong, he has good hips, he's pretty good. But out in space, he has some problems. So it's a struggle right now for him.
What's his name again? Robinson?
Greg Robinson.
Greg Robinson.
Know, they like him. Listen, if he doesn't make a tackle, he'll be an amazing guard, because he's so powerful and so athletic. So, but I would still give him some chances. I mean, I think he has a chance to be okay. You just got to be patient with him, because he's never did it in Auburn. That's why I said I wouldn't have drafted him.
Tony Vaselli is with us live at the Edward Jones Dome in St. Louis, Missouri. Thursday Night Football, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the St. Louis Rams. Flip it over now. Jameis Winston had that great run. What was that, a couple of weeks ago?
19 yards.
Third down, 19. Scramble, and then threw a touchdown pass to win the game. So you see flashes from this guy. What do you think?
You see more than flashes of Jameis Winston. That kid's going to be good, and he is good. You look at it, you know, he started slow the first five, six games, but he has played really good football, and they glow about him up here. He is a very smart football player. You watch him, he's great in the pocket. He has a big arm. You know, Tampa's got their franchise quarterback in Jameis Winston, and he is there's a reason he's the first pick. Listen, not taking nothing away from Mariota, who's going to be a very good quarterback as well. But, I mean, Jameis has all the tools to be that guy.
Is Vincent Jackson out for this ball game?
Yeah, Vincent Jackson got an MCL last week on a little naked bootleg. He got it in the flat, and the linebacker was buzzing down, and Jameis didn't see him and hit him right in the knee. So he's out probably for the year. It was a pretty good MCL.
And Mike Evans is going to be the man. Certainly, yeah, a great, great receiver.
He was on the field, Jeff, and I just got back up from the field, sitting in the press box eating, talking to my good friends in the press up there. Mike Evans looks like a tight end on the field. I mean, he is a big dude, and he is. You watch him on film; he's great hands. He's a dynamic receiver, you know. So with Vincent Jackson out, my guess is Winston's going to be going to him quite a bit.
I wish I could have a do-over in fantasy.
I think we all need a do-over at some point. Tony Baselli with us live in St. Louis before Thursday Night Football. Let's talk Jags now. The Falcons coming in here with a high-powered big names on offense. They haven't had a lot of results this year. The numbers are down. They've had some issues. Obviously, they've dropped six games in a row now. Good test for this Jags defense this week, Tony, against Matt Ryan, who, if he has time to stand back there, he can light you up with Julio Jones on the outside.
Well, it's a tough matchup if you look at the names on the back of their jerseys, but based on their play, you know, they couldn't get in the end zone last week. And Matt Ryan's not playing well at all. I think he has 17 interceptions against 14 picks, 13, 14
That's about right.
17 touchdowns, 14 picks. I mean, he's struggling. And the offensive line's not very good. Devontae Freeman started great during the start of the year, but he's tailed off a little bit. Julio Jones is the only real weapon they have, and then defensively, they're not good. I mean, it was smoke and mirrors at the beginning, and everyone was ready to anoint Dan Quinn as the next, you know, Vince Lombardi, and I'm sure he's a good coach, but they have issues on that side of the ball, and they're not very good.
Is it a personnel issue in Atlanta?
Yes. They have not drafted well, and their defensive personnel is not very good.
Well, there you go.
Could spell trouble for Thomas Dimitroff.
Yeah, the clock might
be
ticking.
You're right, guys.
Other side now, Jaguars offense rolling right now, Tony, and Blake Bortles especially need another big game from him. The arrow's still going up with him, right?
JP, what do you mean? Is the arrow's still
going
up?
The arrow's
going up.
I'm trying to ask a question about Bortles.
That's dumb. That's
eight touchdowns,
question.
No picks. There's room to grow.
He's playing
still.
Well. Thank you. Yes, he's playing well. Absolutely. He's going to be he's a franchise quarterback. Just needs to keep on getting better. The Jags picked the right guy. I mean, he's great. And he's playing very well. And his decision-making the last 2 weeks has been the best part of it. Forget the touchdowns and everything else. It's the decision-making for me that gets me excited.
All right. Go call a game, Tony.
I'll see you guys.
Tony Vaselli being a smart aleck in St. Louis.
Is he anything but with you?
No, he's not. That's the way he rolls. We'll come back. This portion of Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by your Southern Ford dealers. We'll take a look at the injury report presented by Baptist Health System. And we'll also pick some games in Week 15 and break down the scenarios ahead for the Jags as well. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Republic Services is the undisputed leader in recycling in Northeast Florida. The official waste provider of the Jags, proudly serving the residents and businesses in Northeast Florida for over 30 years. Call Republic Services for all of your waste and recycling solutions, and they will take it from here. Jaguars Thursday continues. J.P. Shadrick with Jeff Lagerman. Tony Baselli is in St. Louis for Thursday Night Football. What are you doing?
I'm over here eating an orange. Good stuff. Health food.
You got a knife on a table.
I'm like the anti-Baselli.
You indeed would be. That's true. For sure. Jags-Falcons coming up. You know, the Falcons, they obviously started 5-0. They've lost six straight now for a 6-7 record. There has never been a team, Jeff, since the merger in 1970, to start 5-0 and finish with a losing record.
That's an amazing.
They would be the first to do it.
It might be an amazing accomplishment for the Atlanta Falcons.
It could be, and the Jags could push them even closer to that.
You know, I think the one disturbing part was that when you watched the game last week against the Carolina Panthers, was that frustration was setting in. You know,
Some skirmishes on the field.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. You had a skirmish with Roddy White against Ben Wickery. I'm going to actually show a couple of these on Film Room Friday on Jaguars.com tomorrow. You had a little scuffle between Julio Jones and Norman. Josh Norman. Yep. You know, that's just kind of uncharacteristic of you know, certainly Julio Jones. And those kind of things, you know, when you got your marquee players that kind of get involved in some of that stuff, it's never a good reflection on a team. And I know that the week leading up to that, that you know, Arthur Blank was asked about the direction of the team, and he said he had complete confidence in Dan Quinn. And but, you know, I mean, that's the signs. I mean, when you rip off six in a row and the expectations, six in a row losses, and the expectations are playoffs, you know, Arthur Blank did not – keep the general manager in place and then bring in Scott Pioli to help in those circles of the personnel department and then bring in a new head coach after firing Mike Smith, who arguably is the best coach in Falcons history, and had the expectation that they would not be good. And so to reel off six consecutive losses in a row, I mean, that's what happens, you know. But, you know, I've always said this. I'm not a big believer in Matt Ryan as being a franchise guy. Never have been, and I always thought that, you know, when you looked at some of the weapons that he had, and that he had, you know, Julio Jones, he's had Roddy White, he had Tony Gonzalez, he had a pretty strong running game through the years, that I never thought that he was a guy that could really carry a football team, and it's showing. And it's showing because he's got one guy now in Julio Jones. Roddy White is kind of fading away. He doesn't have a tight end anymore. And you know, they're expecting him to do more, and his interceptions are high relative to his touchdown passes. His completion percentage is up, but look at the number of catches that Devontae Freeman has. You know, I mean, that's why his completion percentage is so high. A lot of those are dump-offs to the backs.
Yeah.
You know, so they, even though they have issues, they still can be an explosive football team. You just wonder about the direction of their offense somewhat under Kyle Shanahan. You know, Kyle Shanahan, you know, what has he done?
Yeah, I mean, what?
I mean, he's got a got a great last name.
Sure.
Got a great last name. And I'm not trying to be critical of him from the standpoint that, you know, he's getting a job because of his dad's name. But, I mean, that's part of it. You know, that is, I think that's part of it. And what is it? He's got to prove something out on his own. And he left the Cleveland Browns and I guess you could say escaped from Cleveland and had a stint in Washington with RG3. Was there when RG3 had probably his most productive year, but he also had RG3 when he was not at his most productive. So, yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting thing there.
You know, you said Mike Smith, the greatest coach in Falcons history, I'm like, wait a minute. I mean, the guy's been to a Super Bowl. I mean, I'm looking at the records now, and, of course, Mike Smith, 60-36
yeah.
in his years.
Is he not the winningest coach in Falcons history?
It's the winningest coach, yes. Dan Reeves, 49-59-1 mm-hmm. from 97 through 03. Jim Mora was there for a handful of years, was 26-22. That's really about the only other one above 500.
He's the greatest coach in Falcons history.
Lehman Bennett in the late 70s, 46-41. I had no idea. So, yeah, you're right. Why would I even question you, Jeff?
I don't know.
I don't either.
Oh, come on. I mean, look.
But they haven't had the results that record should indicate, right?
Well,
that's why he's not there.
I think Arthur Blank is learning a little bit here through this process, and that, you know, Mike Smith was a very good football coach, really good football coach, and that you've got to be able to have, you know, certain things personnel wise. And if you look at the Falcons draft since Thomas Dimitroff took over, and I'm trying to think of exactly how long he has been there. I don't remember the exact year. I think I've got it written down here. My little cheat sheet here. Since 2008.
That's right.
And if you look at the roster and the picks that are left on this roster from 2008, he's not done a particularly strong job. You know, yeah, he drafted Matt Ryan, but Julio Jones. But, I mean, he gave the farm away.
To get Julio.
To get Julio Jones. Yeah. And a lot of people take a look at that and say, okay, well, is this trade worthwhile? And what they do is they evaluate it from the standpoint of what players were picked with the picks that they gave up to get Julio Jones. That's not the way to evaluate it, because a lot of those players didn't work out. But if you evaluate it from the standpoint of who they could have had with those picks, I think the story might be different.
Let's take a look at the injury report presented by Baptist Health System, changing healthcare for good. Chris Clemens, Veteran Day Wednesday, back in the field today. Paul Posluszny is practicing with a club on his hand. It is a closed fist in the club. So he has played, he told us in the locker room the other day, with broken bones in his arm when he was in Buffalo before. So he's had limitations.
Played with a cast on that.
Yeah, so... And he's
a little different, though. I mean, when you don't have the ability to use your hands as a linebacker or a defensive lineman, I mean, look at J.J. Watt this past week.
Shut down, man.
Well, I mean, still a really good player, but you just can't be the player that you normally can be when you got the function of your hand. I mean, as a football player and a defender, when you're taking on players, that's what it's all about. You got to have the use of your hands. So that's going to be interesting to watch now. Very interesting to watch how effective that he can be playing with basically a club.
A little self-promotion here. Go to Jaguars.com. Inside the Jaguars, a little report today on Posluszny and some video of him with that club if you want to see it. Andre Branch, defensive end, limited this week with a groin injury. Dwayne Gratz with a hamstring injury, also limited. Alan Hearns did not practice Wednesday, limited today, the thigh core issue.
Ongoing story, yes, there, no big deal.
Same old thing. Nick Jacobs, tight end, limited this week so far with a hamstring injury.
Inactive, I think, the previous two.
That's right.
Yep.
Yeah. Roy Miller, practice Wednesday, limited today with a knee issue. That's normal. Jeremy Parnell, the right tackle, the same thing, knee issue, limited today.
Become typical. It's kind of what he's been the last couple weeks.
Yep. Brian Walters didn't play last week, limited with the same back issue so far this week.
I think that with Brian Walters is probably something that will be there all year, you know, and then probably be addressed in the offseason. I mean, that's kind of what it's looking like. I mean, when you see a player who's consistently on the injury report with a back, and when you finally had the opportunity, you were healthy enough elsewhere at that wide receiver position last week that he was inactive, you get the feeling that that's – you know, he's going to have to go to the body shop,
yep,
or the mechanic shop in the offseason and get that addressed.
It just doesn't go away, a lot of those back issues. A couple of guys have not practiced this week. Ryan Davis with the knee issue has not practiced, and T.J. Yeldon with the knee issue has not practiced. What's your thought on Yeldon? I guess he's not ready to rule him out officially, but I mean, it's an MCL issue.
Well, I think they're in good hands with Denard, and I have a feeling that T.J. won't play, but then – same token, it happened earlier in the year that I didn't think he was going to play, and he did. But, you know, Denard will do just fine. I mean, Denard, I think, he's got his pop back. Now, you get concerned there as far as a depth standpoint. You know, what happens if something happens to Denard, or who's going to split reps with Denard and Banyard, Joe Banyard,
yeah,
or Banyard, however you want to call it, Banyard. doesn't have a lot of experience. And the next guy up is Jonas Gray, who you picked up from the Miami Dolphins practice squad.
Who would you go with first? Banyard, just because he's been around here?
Well, you know, it's an interesting question. I mean, how quick of a learner, you know, is Jonas Gray? You know, how quickly can he pick it up? I mean, the guy has been proven, you know, in the National Football League. I mean, the one game that he had with the New England Patriots, you know, you hate to say that and keep pointing to one game.
It's a 200-yard game, though.
But, yeah, I mean, it was one heck of a football game with a football team that doesn't exactly run the football with much gusto. You know, so pretty impressive, you know, but I don't know. That's, I mean, those guys, Kelly Skipper and Gus and Greg Olson certainly are going to know a lot more about that than I, because, you know, Banyard and Jonas Gray, we don't see them. It's not like we watched them in training camp and said, you know what, you know, I kind of like this guy better than that guy. You have nothing to evaluate it on. There's no film on them. So kind of just have to wait and see.
And even the film you do have on Banyard is special teams. Only for two games he's been inactive, five of the seven games he's been around.
I expect Jonas Gray and Banyard to both be up. I mean,
you have to have people.
Yeah, you got to have both up. Yeah. I mean, you got to have somebody. So, you know, they're going to have to play special teams, and they're going to have to be able to ready to go and spell. And my guess is that maybe you've got a certain set of packages for one guy and a certain set of packages for the other guy, and they probably both play.
It'll be interesting, man. D-Rob stepped in and played well. I mean, he really did. That's good to see. From a guy who's
– top competitor now.
Yeah, he's a guy who's had his role limited this year because Yeldon's been so strong early.
Now, I think the greatest thing about his progress is that when you watch him play the running back position now, do you ever look at him now and go, you know what, that's pretty good for a former quarterback? You don't even have that thought in your head anymore. Mm-hmm. You're evaluating him as a running back. And you're seeing him as a running back, and to me, that's progress itself, because you don't think of him as a quarterback anymore.
It's funny, you're watching the Army-Navy game of all things this past Saturday. It's when it pops back in your head, because they're showing the graphics. The Navy quarterback was about to break records. He broke the career touchdown record for a quarterback running, or a rushing record, any position, and he was about 100 yards away from the quarterback rushing yardage record, which Denard Robinson holds in NCAA history. So
yeah, so it's look, I'm excited about watching Denard. Now, if you had asked me, are you excited about seeing Denard 7 weeks ago when he was coming back from the MCL that he sustained in the first, the home opener, I'd say no, I'm not. But he's back to being the player that we saw in the preseason, that he had some pop.
Park, ride, and relax. JTA Stadium Shuttle makes game days more enjoyable with hassle-free trips to the stadium. For ticket details and parking information, visit jtafla.com. Your last chance for the regular season to use that this Sunday. We'll come back and look around the National Football League in Week 15. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Check out the Hanania Automotive Group. They've got 10 brands, hundreds of vehicles to choose from, and thousands in savings. This portion of Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Fanatics.com. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, Joe Fortunato alongside. The Jags and the Falcons coming up Sunday at Everbank Field, the home finale for 2015. And the Jags are trying to finish with a winning home schedule record for the first time, oh gosh, in a long time. I think 2010, I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it's been a while, and you looked that up, double-checked that. But, you know, what I'm most excited about this weekend, on top of that, is that the alumni homecoming weekend. And I think there's approximately going to be about 45 to 50 former Jaguars coming in. And I'm sure that at halftime that they'll recognize those guys.
That's correct.
And it's great. And I really thank you to Shad Khan, Mark Lamping, and the organization for doing this, you know, because, I mean, it's still a very relatively young franchise, but doing something like this, I mean, you know, I think the players, the former players, all really, really enjoy the weekend, you know, to come in, see the guys. You know, I know Gus Bradley and Dave Caldwell have really embraced the former players with open arms as far as They always stop in. They do a dinner the night before the game, and it's for the players only.
No significant others. No. It's just players.
Yeah, it's just players, and it's it's a good time to hang out, catch up with certain guys, and I really enjoy that, you know. And last year, really enjoyed it as well. Looking forward to maybe seeing some faces that I haven't seen in a while.
The list of guys expected to attend is on Jaguars.com, so check that out. And it is always a pretty fun weekend around here.
Yeah, you know, it's from you know the Fred Taylors, you know, which is
he's on the wall.
Pride of the Jaguars, you know, Baselli, of course, all the way down to an Isaac Smolko. Not to, you know, make fun of Isaac Smolko, but he was a guy that was here for a very short period of time. But, you know, that's cool. You know, Patrick Vinsky, you know, an offensive lineman that literally speaks with a thick German accent. You know, I mean, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool to see everybody.
That'll be fun here on Sunday. And, of course, the Jax Games tailgate party before that as well, the X Games legends. So a lot happening here at Everbank Field this Sunday. It was 2010, by the way. The Jags were 5-3 at home that year. But that was also the year they choked and lost the last three of the season and missed the playoffs. They finished 8-8. That was the last .500 record. And, of course, this Jags team needs to finish 8-8 to even have a chance.
And, you know, the good thing is that you'll be tied with somebody after this weekend if you win.
That's right. One left ahead of you.
Because
the Texans and Colts play each other.
That's exactly right. You know, so.
And you want the Texans to win, I think, technically, is what we're really kind of hoping for here.
You know, I know that there's a lot of different scenarios, and to be perfectly honest with you, I've looked at them. And the one thing that has a common thread, you know, and maybe this is the coach that has been barking in my
coach
ear
Lagerman,
for so many years. Not me, Coach. I'm talking the coach that is always barking in your ear.
Oh, yes.
Take care of your own business. So the only thing that has the common thread through all of that is that the Jaguars need to get their win. You know, if they don't beat the Falcons, it doesn't matter what happens anywhere else.
If you don't beat the Falcons, you're making plans in January for something else other than football. Let's look around the National Football League in Week 15. It begins tonight. You heard from Tony Buscelli earlier at the Edward Jones Dome in St. Louis. The Buccaneers and the St. Louis Rams. Who you got?
I mean, I'm taking the Bucs. I mean, I just can't pick the Rams. I mean, they're probably, and I don't know this for a fact, but my guess would be is that they're a better road team than they are a home team, just because it's tough to play when you have that situation going on there in St. Louis. Jameis Winston has made progress. They've got a team that's playing a lot better football in Tampa. Got a good running back. You know, Mike Evans is still there, big-time wide receiver. You know, they got some pretty good tight ends if they're healthy. I'm not sure if they are yet, but Tampa has been playing good football.
Saturday night football on NFL Network as well. The Jets at the Cowboys.
Yeah, and the Jets need to win out to have a chance to get to the playoffs. You know, because they're not going to win their division. The Patriots are right at the top, and I'm taking the Jets.
You always pick the Jets.
No, I don't.
They must have drafted
Look,
you.
I have – you know what, JP? I am a big fan of Todd Bowles, and you know why?
Yeah.
You go all the way back to the preseason when you had the – what's the guy's name that punched Geno Smith?
Ike and Apoli.
And you had all that went on, and it was starting to become a circus, or that you could tell that they were trying to make it a circus. Todd Bowles quieted it down. He handled it perfectly. He quieted it down. I love the way that he handles himself. He's a very good defensive coach. He did a great job in hiring Chan Gailey as offensive coordinator, which is a run-based philosophy, knowing that they don't have a lot of quarterback talent. If he should be in the conversation for Coach of the Year, for the job that, and some of the things that he has had to overcome in New York, because that's a tough market to coach in.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about that. Let's get through these games on Sunday. Panthers trying to stay undefeated in New York against Tom Coughlin.
And that's going to be a fantasy player's love fest. I mean, you're going to want to play some of those guys that are playing in that game, because I think there's going to be a ton of points scored.
Carolina win?
Yeah, Carolina. Watching them last week against the Atlanta Falcons, their defense is so good. So good. I don't see Tom Coughlin's Giants being able to score as many as they would like to or that they're going to have to against them.
Buffalo Bills at FedEx Field against the Skins.
Yeah.
It's nope. Painting you, it sounds like.
I'm taking the Redskins. I mean, this is a tough game to pick. Yeah. But I'm going to take the Redskins because I know Rex Ryan is having a tough year. He has a defense that has taken steps backward under him this year. The team that he left is having great success without him there. And so it's not been a good year for the man that supposedly has a foot fetish. I'm taking the Redskins.
Bears at Vikings.
I'm taking the Vikings. You know, the Bears are playing hard.
Yep.
But I'm taking, you know, I really like the job that Mike Zimmer's done up there in Minnesota. I'm glad to see him get an opportunity as a head coach. I've always liked his style. And I think the Vikings win that one.
You can run the ball, too. That doesn't hurt the Vikings'
chances.
Because
they got an AP.
That's correct. The Chiefs are red hot. They're going to Baltimore.
Now, Baltimore, I mean, who's playing quarterback?
Good question.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, the Ravens have started to make decisions.
Did they sign Mallett this week?
Yes. Yeah. They started to make decisions for next year, which ought to tell you where they're at. And rightfully so. I mean, because you lost Joe Flacco. Matt Schaub has got issues going on. The Ravens are done.
New England's going to hammer Tennessee, I believe. They're a 2-touchdown favorite. We'll go ahead and bypass that game.
They should be a 3-touchdown favorite.
Houston at Indy in the AFC South.
I'm taking Houston.
You are?
Yeah, I mean, after watching the film of Matt Hasselbeck, I just, you know, if you're a Jaguars defender and you feel really good about the performance that you had, feel good about it, but don't feel great about it because Matt Hasselbeck was poor, and I think he's going to be poor, really poor against that Houston defense that's playing pretty well.
Yeah, TJ Yates makes a start for Houston.
Even with the casted one, JJ Watt.
How about that? Cleveland at Seattle.
That is going to be an absolute hammering. Take Russell Wilson, fantasy owners. Take him.
He threw, what, 5 last week?
Yep.
Yeah, 5 touchdowns. He's hot right
and
now,
wait.
Better from the pocket now,
Johnny,
too.
They got Johnny Football, though.
Watch out, yeah.
Big deal.
Mm-hmm. Green Bay at Oakland.
That's a good one now.
Yes, sir, it is.
You know what? I'm going to take the Raiders.
Are you at home?
Yeah, man. I'm going to take the Raiders. Khalil Mack, I think, is going to do a pretty good job against Green Bay.
5 sacks last week.
Yeah, it was. You know,
did you ever have a 5-sack game, Jeff?
Heck no. No. I only dreamed about games like that. He's a really good player. They have a good young quarterback in Oakland. Aaron Rodgers and that offense is – I think that's going to be a really close game, though.
Good game, Denver at Pittsburgh. Really good game.
I'm taking Pittsburgh just because their weapons are – I mean, they're really, really good. Ben Roethlisberger is doing pretty well.
Good battle against that Denver D.
Yeah, and I know that it is – what is it, the best defense in the league right now, if not one of the top defenses in the league right now. Yeah, but I just think that Pittsburgh has so many different weapons at Ben Roethlisberger's disposal. I think the Pittsburgh defense has been doing a better job. They certainly did against the Colts, and they did against the Bengals. I'm going to take Pittsburgh.
Bad game, Dolphins-Chargers.
You know, that's a tough one now. I mean, the Dolphins didn't look so good. I'm going to take Phillip Rivers just because sooner or later, Phillip Rivers has got to get a win.
Yeah, he's too good not to will his team forward. Cincinnati at San Francisco.
Even though they have a former Alabama quarterback at the helm.
That's probably not a good thing.
Even though, I'm still going to take the Bengals.
The last Alabama quarterback to win in the National Football League.
Okay.
Jeff Rutledge, 1987 with the Giants.
You know, if you're a high school player and you're coming out, you know, to go to a major college program, is Alabama really the place you want to go if you play quarterback?
Do you want rings or do you want to go to the league?
I mean, both. Right?
It hasn't been a good place for quarterbacks.
No, it has not been.
A couple more games. We'll get out of here. Arizona at Philly.
Arizona.
Good game. Detroit, New Orleans on Monday night.
I'm hoping New Orleans wins big.
and that the following week they are full of themselves, feel like they've accomplished something, and they do nothing
against the Jags. Jags can get it done against Atlanta.
It's a tough matchup. I think it's going to be a really close ball game. I think it's going to come down to a last possession. I think the Jags squeeze it out.
Jeffrey, we'll see you Sunday.
It'll be a thriller.
It should be. For Jeff Lagerman, Joe Fortunato, Tony Buscelli, this is JP Shadrick. Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.